Before we begin, Simon and I would like to acknowledge that we're recording this podcast on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woi-wurrung people of the Kulin Nations. We'd like to acknowledge and pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any First Nations listeners.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
My name is Ryan.
And I'm Simran.
And this is the podcast for burnt out divas.
Trying to stay
broadly relevant.
Hi, divas.
Oh my God, we're back.
We're so back, baby.
Simran, what's the biggest faux pas you've had this week?
Oh, I was cleaning out my garage and I was taking out a box and it had packing peanuts in it. And then a gust of wind came and then all of the packing peanuts went all over my driveway and I live in a row of units. Oh. And so it was in everybody's gardens and I had to go pick out individual packing peanuts from everybody's gardens. And it was a big faux pas, I would say.
That's you? Horrible. I went to a gallery opening and ooh. I was like, I love the gallery, but I like really didn't want to chat with anyone. So like I went right as it opened, said hello to the artist, saw the paintings and left before all of my friends showed up.
Broadly culture.
Well, have you heard about Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom fighting about Katy Perry going to space?
I think it's so funny.
Apparently Orlando, who is obviously Katy's partner, but apparently they're on the rocks, he said that the whole thing looked ridiculous, cringeworthy, and embarrassing. And that was in the middle of a fight with Perry, who was apparently very hurt by her partner's lack of support, which I think less. Like, imagine being so naive that you thought going to space would solve the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally. She is on her way, I think. Or, like, the other part of that story is that Orlando Bloom is going to Jeff Bezos's and Lauren Sanchez's wedding in Venice. But she's not going because she's on tour right now. And she's upset because she's the one who's, like, closer to them. This is all, like, sources said. And we'll put the...
Wait, Bezos as in...
Jeff.
As in...
Amazon.
Whoa.
As in the spaceship.
No, actually, that makes so much sense.
And Lauren and Katy are space buddies.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's so gross.
I hate all of it.
Actually, in fact, more people hate it because there are so many Venetians that are planning protests for the wedding. It's like a three-day event situation.
Where in Venice?
Let me look it up. Yeah, yeah, go on.
Well, it looks like it's like a three-day event. So it's just like in a bunch of venues over the city, which like is so fair.
Yeah, and it's called the protest rally against it is No Space for Bezos.
But apparently they hung like a banner over St. Mark's Cathedral, which is... So, like, you know, do you remember when we were there?
Yeah, it's true. We went to Italy.
Yeah, we actually protested the wedding.
Just earlier.
Yeah.
We were ahead of the time, actually.
No, totally. No, but apparently also the tour is shit. Have you seen all the clips of Katy on tour?
Yes, I have.
I'm like, I've been to the Eras tour. Like, I know what a good tour is like, you know?
I wouldn't know that.
Well, so you must be really
go
entertained
back to
by the
episode
Katy Perry
number
clips.
One, if you want to hear the lore about that. such a drag on me about me liking Katy Perry's tour. Speaking of weddings, one of my favorite OG YouTubers, Remy Ashton, her name's Miss Remy Ashton. She's just changed it to Mrs. Remy Ashton.
I saw this.
Yeah, she just got married like on the past, actually, I don't know when she got married, but she released the photos on the weekend. And scrolling through the photos, I see the one and only Lana Del Rey at this wedding, at this YouTuber wedding. And this is like truly like the royal wedding of influencers. So Remy Ashton got married. To Cal Parsons. And the lore of Remy Ashton and Lana Del Rey is pretty deep. So it first like went back to 2023 at a Billboard Women in Music event. And so Lana first approached Remy's bestie, who is Ollie Abbas. He's like another YouTuber. And she was like, I watch you and Remy every day. And then she went on and she was like, when I ran out of like Remy videos, like I started watching your videos. And then I started watching Alicia Marie's videos. And Alicia Marie was like sitting next to her. And like fully like Lana like screamed when she saw her. And I was like, that's so peak fangirl energy. Which I loved. And then in her acceptance speech for the award, she was like, shout out to the vloggers who got me through COVID, Remy Ashton, Ollie, and Alicia Marie.
That's
amazing.
So cute.
That's the dream of like an influencer for real. And me ignoring every controversial thing that Lana Del Rey has done, just because I like the way that she's celebrity.
Well, but she has that gator husband, doesn't she?
Totally.
I think about him all the time.
Yeah. He was not a plus one to the wedding.
That's crazy.
Her sister was, which I think like,
I respect that.
They watched it together.
Yeah.
And so I think like if my like, you know, famous sister brought like my husband to a like A normalized niche plus one. Absolutely. And I really think that she's doing like the celebrity thing right, because they have a group chat and everything now, like together, and she got invited to this wedding. And if I was famous, I would also like, you know, try and get invited to like my niche, like internet celebrity's wedding. Whose wedding would you like to be invited to?
You know, I've forgotten every celebrity that exists.
Or like it can be so like niche if you want.
I maintain that I'm really excited for your wedding. Like out of all the weddings, all the people in my life, like your wedding number one.
So true, yeah. Bestie. So true. My like OG YouTuber right now has like started the process of like bridal showers, blah blah blah, that sort of thing. Her name's Adeline Morin, and I would love to be invited to that wedding because I like that. Influencer weddings kind of went like this like full circle situation where they were like, oh, let's like make it really big, make it like really outrageous, and like vlog the whole thing, like live stream the whole thing, whatever, like Tana Mojo, Jake Paul energy.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went to like, let's keep it low key and only like give out like a few little like pictures, like, you know, like a year later on our anniversary energy. And now it's gone another situation. And I think TikToker Jazz was the first one to do this. That was also like considered a royal wedding in the New York influencer scene. But she was like posting live TikToks throughout her wedding.
Did you read Taylor Lawrence's article on this?
No.
Yeah, she like just covered the whole thing, but she was like posting like every couple minutes during the wedding, which I think is, so, I'm like, I respect that.
I respect the hustle. Her like philosophy behind that, like her thought process behind that was basically that like you, like the audience helped me be able to afford the wedding of my dreams.
Yeah.
And so therefore, like, I feel like I owe them something, you know, in that sense. And I appreciate that. And I think the same.
Like, a wedding exists to document and like make something like happen by recording it, you know? So it's like, you know, like, of course you've got to like post it on Instagram.
Exactly. I think Remy Ashton's find like this like a nice medium because she did all her photos like through like an exclusive like release with Brides magazine. And then she also has like vlogs coming out now, but she was like ready to do it when she wanted to and like get that bag also. Yeah. And now she's got like all the content to like go with it. She also had a Labubu claw machine. I feel like that was worth mentioning. and I feel like in that instance, not a recession indicator.
That's
a wealth indicator for sure. In other news, Lucy Hale and Ian Harding are not apologizing for Ezraiah. If you don't know what that means, that's you touch grass for sure. And you maybe had like a much happier childhood. Lucy Hale and Ian Harding were stars in the show Pretty Little Liars. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Yeah, it was about this like serial killer, I guess, or like this vigilante, maybe. I guess didn't kill this, but anyways, taunting like these four high school girls that we all had to be convinced were in high school, even though they wore like 6-inch heels to school with a full lash.
Everyone was watching that all the time.
I was obsessed with it. And in Lucy Hale played Aria Montgomery, and Ian Harding played Ezra Fitz, which was a high school English teacher, and they were like together in the show. Like she was a teenager and he was the high school English teacher. And so they've come out recently and like defended the controversial age gap between their characters. So Lucy told The Hollywood Reporter, it was a different time. Would that storyline exist if it were being made now? I'm not sure, but probably not. At the time I was cast as Aria, I was 19 years old and I wasn't really thinking about the bigger themes of it all. I was just stoked to be cast on a TV show. Of course, it hits differently at my age now, and I think about the bigger message in anything I play. Totally gay queen. But Lucy does say, like, I stand behind their love story forever. That forbidden love story drew a lot of people in, and I'm one of those people that tried it. I used to watch Ezraiah edits, like, every day after school, like during school even.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I just had different
experiences.
What type of edits were you watching?
I was just like writing angsty poetry on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. Again, I didn't have Tumblr. I was Wattpad. I feel like this is very Wattpad of me. Yeah.
Did Archive of Our Own exist back then? When did that come out?
What?
Archive of Our Own?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know Archive of Our Own?
No.
AO3.
No.
Okay, we'll save this for a deep dive, but to those who know, solidarity.
I feel like I need to know.
No. It's too much.
Broadly News.
We've got three news stories. Two of them aren't fun, but one of them is fun weird.
Fun weird.
Yeah. We're going to start with not fun.
Okay. Totally thinking. Why was I about to sing it?
What? America dropped 3 bombs on Iran. No, targeted 3 different nuclear enrichment sites.
In Iran.
In Iran.
Yeah.
With these, have you read about the bombs?
No.
Oh my God. So it's these massive, like, they're designed to like blow up bunkers, right? And so they can only be dropped by the B-52 bomber. I swear I'm not like a weirdo for knowing things about the military, okay? They can only be dropped by the B-52 bomber, which is one of the largest planes in the world, right? And they're designed to penetrate like 60 meters underground just from being so heavy when they fall. And then once they land, then they explode, right? So the whole thing, because Iran builds their nuclear enrichment facilities deep underground to like prevent against attacks, it's like meant to burrow down and do it. So they used really big bombs that have never been used before, which is bad.
Yeah. All around bad.
But how interesting.
I don't know why we're laughing. We're just really stressed about it.
It's so uncomfortable.
Truly. Yeah. The US has gone to war with Iran.
Yeah.
Australia stayed neutral on it and then decided to back the US and Trump. And that's quite disappointing, but not surprising, I guess.
Not surprising from Penny Wong.
No. We didn't have like much to say in this. Obviously terrible, bad, but we couldn't like go without saying anything.
Yeah.
But I did notice that a lot of people, well, sometimes I go on like a better account on TikTok just to like get out of my like bubble.
I should do that.
Yeah, it's very interesting because then I want to see like what other people are like thinking about it that aren't so like as left as I am.
Yeah.
And I was like seeing a lot of people being like, oh, okay, but it's only, you know, everything that's happening will only affect Iran. Like, you know, it's not like they're going to come like bomb like us in America or like in Australia.
No, and we need to talk about this because I have a lot to say.
Yeah. One of the things that people aren't getting is that this isn't only about who's going to bomb who, but it can also have great effect on the economic situation around the world. So Iran's parliament has approved the closing of the Strait of Hormuz. And this is a very big deal because 1/3 of the world's liquefied natural gas and almost 25% of total global oil consumption passes through that strait. And it's kind of ironic because all of these like Trumpies voted for Trump to lower their oil prices, but you best be knowing that oil is about to shoot up everywhere. Like it's I think the bubble that they're living in that for you page world, in that timeline, thinks that like it's just like, you know, the issues are just contained to Iran, but that's like so not the case.
No, because it's like we live in an interconnected world.
It's true.
But also like, because you know Pine Gap?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So Pine Gap is a joint Australian and American satellite communications and signals intelligence surveillance base located just south of Alice Springs. And based out of it is the Australian Defence Force, as well as the CIA and the NSA from America, right? And so it's like really important in the way that America does surveillance around the entire world. So it's like, actually, we are a strategic target. Like, I'm not saying, I don't know what I'm not saying, but I am just saying like, we're not culpable.
No, totally. You know? It's very interesting. I went to Alice Springs and talking to like the US officials there and then like the people who like who are Australian.
Yeah.
And it's funny how actually like a lot of the US people who have like been like hosted over there also are like, what the fuck are we doing
in
here?
Australia,
and I very much like, I don't know if I should be saying, I'm not saying any names, so it's fine. But
I'm not leaking anything.
No. But they all want to commit treason is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, but you know, Pine Gap has had a lot of protests about it in the past because of just like, you know, it's on stolen land, like everything else in Australia. But also like it's just like during all the wars that America has done, it's obviously been a site for protest. But you know why Alice Springs is the lesbian capital of Australia?
Why?
On November 11th, 1983, there was a massive protest where Aboriginal women led 700 women to the Pine Gap gates, where they fell silent for 11 minutes to commemorate Remembrance Day and the Greenham Common protest in Britain, which was the beginning of a 2-week women-only peace camp organized the auspices of Women for Survival. And basically what happened, because all the women were hippie lesbians, they just enjoyed it and stayed. And so as a result, Alice Springs has like a massive lesbian population.
Wow. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is an... No, it absolutely was an indicator. But last week I talked about the American Army, like military woman on TikTok and how she had like free.
The one with the gel?
No, 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 that's a different girl. I love that you know her. No, it's this influencer and she is in the military and she talks about like, oh, the army like puts aside like this amount of money for our food and then we get food like from our bases.
Yeah.
And the food that she had gotten was like lobster and like steak and, you know, like really extravagant like food. And everyone in the comment section was like, oh girl, this means that you're getting deployed. Like that's what's happening. Like we are going into war. So all these people, lots of people predicted war for like different reasons, but all the people in the TikTok comments also predicted war because of this food.
Okay.
Yeah. So her mukbangs were a war indicator.
But yeah, TLDR, America has bombed Iran and it's not good. And Australia is involved.
Moving on in news.
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah.
Let's start with the basics. There is an ongoing court trial in Victoria against Aaron Patterson, who is alleged to have killed a bunch of dinner guests by feeding them poisoned mushrooms. There's a lot of media interest around the case.
It's true.
For context, we're restarting this story.
Because we were so messy before.
No, but it's not funny because she's alleged to have killed people, which is not good.
No, sorry.
That was inappropriate of us.
Okay. So speaking of inappropriate things that media do.
Yes.
It has been, there's a lot of media coverage for this case. There's a lot of updates throughout the trial that are coming out every day, like, you know, and lots of updates throughout.
But there's like a lot of things that the media can do wrong in covering court cases because there's a lot of sensitive information, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to like influence the jury who are the people like who might be convicting. You don't want to release sensitive information about details of like witnesses and stuff in case of retaliation. What else, Simran?
You took it from me. You also don't want to be like disrespectful towards like judges or juries or any other court officials because you can, all of this to say, you can hold the court in contempt and that can lead to like a mistrial or having to like start things all over again. And it really lengthens the judicial process and you don't want that at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like mega bad.
In our professional opinion. So there has been some cases with the Aaron Patterson mushroom case that people are facing contempt of court. Most recently, Kyle Sandilands and Jackie O Henderson of the Kyle and Jackie O show are facing contempt of court charges over on-air comments made about the case. And the judges, the trial judges, Justice Christopher Beale referred the two to the Office of Public Prosecutions for contempt of court charges last week with a transcript from their show. There aren't much like details about like what they said. And I'm not going to repeat it just because, I don't know, we don't have a lawyer on the show, so I'm not going to repeat it. But this isn't the first time that has happened throughout this trial. Do you want to say more on that, Ryan?
Yeah, so basically there's been a bunch of podcasts that have been releasing daily based on like the events of the court, including one from the ABC. And so Lamestream, which is another news site, which I'm a big fan of, has basically suggested that it's possible that the ABC's podcast has breached suppression orders. And the suppression orders are in place to protect certain witnesses. In her evidence, Patterson has detailed her relationship with her extended family and discussed her relationship with her ex-husband and her children. As is common in criminal cases, the names of her children are subject to a suppression order, meaning that while they can be referred to by name in court, those names can't be published by the media. And basically, Lamestream podcast and newsletter noticed that the ABC put out an episode with those names, and that was left unedited on YouTube for 24 hours, where it was seen by 14,000 times. It was eventually removed after Lamestream reached out to them, but it really highlights the fraught nature of covering ongoing trials.
Yeah, absolutely. Crikey has also, you know, also fell foul of suppression orders according to Mumbrella. And Mamma Mia and Channel 10 were both warned about elements of their reporting around the trial as well. Even a social media and influencer and mummy blogger, Constance Hall, also got a legal letter after comments under her Facebook post about the trial breached the principles of sub judice contempt. So she had to remove that post. And I think honestly, that is like one of the biggest way that you can hold a court in contempt is the Facebook comments.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the time, like you'll see a post and comments are turned off, like that's the reason. And it's not like they're always trying to like silence.
Because in Australia, news publications are liable for everything in the comments.
Yeah.
Like not just in court, like just anything you comment on a news thing, they're liable.
But I think this speaks more to our rush into like covering a certain story. I think like, you know, obviously this is a very captivating story around Australia. It has so many elements to it. Like it's very Australian. It's giving dingo baby. And you know, it's like a true crime element to that. So I understand like there's so many like podcasts that are made about this, you know, the ABC's Mushroom Case Daily, a podcast in itself. But I think it comes back to having care and like what your intention of putting out certain details are. A lot of the stories that I see also are like the emotions like in the room, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, but like what? I don't know how much that adds to the story.
It's broadly that thing. It's like, why is this case being covered so much, you know? Because it's just like one homicide case, you know? Mm-hmm. There's so many homicide cases that don't get things, but just because the details are a little bit interesting, you know, it was mushrooms cooked into a Wellington.
Yeah.
Yeah. And suddenly it's like this whole media thing. And it's like, I don't know, it feels like it's not even news at this point and it is just entertainment. And then it's so fraught when news has to deliver entertainment with the expectations of entertainment media, mm-hmm. but while still, you know, not getting in trouble.
Absolutely. And if the court is hearing this, love you guys. And we don't mean anything
such
by this. And everything is like literally alleged. Yeah. So
have you seen like those hyper realistic baby dolls?
I have.
Yeah.
They're so hyper realistic.
Brazil is kind of having a moment with these baby dolls. So they're like they're called like reborn dolls, and they're just like hyper realistic baby dolls, which mm-hmm. just look real. And so they're like going viral on TikTok and stuff in Brazil with videos of collectors bathing their dolls, tucking them into bed, or pushing them in prams spread all over the internet. And it's caused like a massive uproar in Brazil after on June 6th, a man slapped a 4-month-old baby on the head, claiming he had mistaken the infant for one of the dolls. He's out on bail and the baby is reportedly doing well, which I just think is crazy. Crazy bit of news on its own. As a result, in Brazil, there's been 30 bills put forward, 30 different bills, including proposals to ban them from receiving public health care or to prohibit collectors from using them to claim priority in queues for public services, which is wild that people are just so like anti these baby doll collectors. I mean, already a wild thing, but also a wild thing to have backlash against the collectors. You know, just a wild thing.
It's all wild all around. I have seen like some like reasons of like why these people like collect these baby dolls. A lot of them are like women who have like gone through like a miscarriage and kind of like use that like as a coping mechanism. Yeah. I like saw this woman on TikTok take a baby doll to Disneyland to do that. And the comments were very interesting because a lot of them were like, this girl like needs help, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of them, like a lot of like mothers who had like gone through similar experiences were like, no, this is like actually like a very like healing experience. And then you can like kind of like put it to rest. But I think it's getting like let in lines faster because you have a doll.
Well, because you look like you have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be a thing.
No, but also a brilliant idea. I'm like, yeah, solid.
Totally.
But it's interesting because all of the bills that have been put forward have been proposed by right-wing and far-right lawmakers, which it's interesting the timing because it's happening at the time that the former president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, is on trial for his attempted coup. And so there's a suggestion that it's like trying to draw media attention away from fascism.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Would you get one?
A realistic baby doll?
Yeah.
No, those freak me out. The same way that like, respectfully, the same way that like, did you ever see those like realistic like cats and or like realistic dogs, and they look like they're sleeping like in a little bed, but they're like breathing and they're like so soft, so you like see them like slightly moving. I used to volunteer at like a retirement like home, and a lot of the people who lived there had those because it kind of like reminded them, and it was like I worked like in a ward like with a lot of like dementia patients and Alzheimer's patients, and so they like it calmed them down a lot of the time, but I just like couldn't handle it. I like freaked out about it. Yeah, that's what freaked me out in the whole situation.
No, totally.
Yeah. Would you get one?
No. No.
Are you a collector of things, though?
I got like a little bit into Squishmallows for a time, but I don't know. I love a bit of minimalism.
Totally.
Broadly Diva.
Welcome back to Broadly Diva. If you haven't been here before, it's essentially where Ryan and I fight to the death for our diva that we choose. Diva can mean anything. It can mean a state of being. It can be a person, obviously. It can be an item that you like find to be a diva in your life. It's definitely more an energy, a vibe. It's an ongoing competition because we take divas from our last Broadly Diva and put them against the divas that we do now. And you get to vote for them in our Instagram comments when I remember to put it in our Instagram comments, which I'm looking to Ryan now, and it seems like I forgot to do that last time.
Let's start the board from scratch.
Okay, thank God. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the new financial year.
Yeah. No, EOFI is so important.
Yeah, EOFI is so important.
Yeah.
So,
who's your diva? Because I haven't figured mine out yet.
My diva is Huda from this most recent season of Love...
Like Huda Beauty?
No, Huda from this most recent season of Love Island USA. Now, there's a lot of lore to unpack here, especially for our mostly Australian listeners. I know I'm going to lose again, but I think it's necessary. And actually, one of my divas from last year was also a Love Island USA contestant, and she won that time, Leah. So this time, Huda. Huda is a contestant on Love Island USA season 7, and she was one of the first contestants to walk in, so she wasn't like a bombshell, you know, person, right? I'm seeing a lot of nodding from Ryan. And okay, Huda has had a lot of tea. Most people hate her, okay? But I actually secretly like her.
Where's she from?
Oh, she's Palestinian.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I was getting to that. Yeah. First of all, she's a Palestinian, so like, let her be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Second of all, she's a mom, okay? And that's like the big part of her like storyline, because the way that she says that she's a mother to a lot of these people is so random. There is like a TikTok right now where she says like, I'm a mommy. And then the guy goes, a mommy? And then he's like, and then she's like, I'm a mommy. And then he goes, mamacita. And then she goes, no, I'm a mom. And then he goes, a mom? A mom of what? Like a dog? And she's like, no, I have a daughter. And it's like, why wouldn't you just say that, like, you have a daughter? So if you're wondering where the sound comes from, it's from that.
Yeah.
She's faced a lot of backlash from America, who gets to, like, vote and things like that, because she got really attached to her first couple up with Jeremiah Brown. And everyone thought they were, like, love-bombing each other and that there were lots of, like, red flags, blah, blah, blah. I actually think there were red flags on both parts. Jeremiah was love-bombing as much as Huda. Huda did become quite, like, territorial over Jeremiah. I don't really think she knew, like, how the game worked. Like, some of her friends posted being, like, she's never seen the show before. She doesn't know that you have to, like, shop around. And she's basically, there's been a search on TikTok saying, like, Huda crash out, or, like, when will Huda crash out? Out, which I think is so fucked. But I think it's just she's like a sensitive, emotional woman. And I so appreciate it, like her being a brown woman and just being like super like roll with her emotions on a reality TV show. And I appreciate and stand that. I think that's why she's my diva, because she's so like unapologetically herself. And like, even though like some of it's like kind of toxic, but she'll like stand like by it. And I really appreciate that, as opposed to like, I feel like reality TV, people come on, especially with Love Island, knowing that it's very reality TV driven and like thinking about like the brand deals that you'll be getting after the show. And so they like kind of portray themselves a certain way. Sometimes these cracks come out because, like, you know, you can only pretend to be someone for so long. I learned that with all my ex-boyfriends. Who was I? But I, you know, the delayed laugh by. But I appreciate a woman who crashes out at all times. And her baby daddy wrote, okay, also she's getting like a lot of like random like death threats, and like people are like doxing her and I like just, her daughter, and it's like all terrible. She doesn't know any of this because she's in a Fiji villa.
Honestly, that's the way you want to live.
So maybe the real diva is Love Island itself.
Yeah. I mean, ignorance is bliss.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Anyways, I freaking love Huda.
Concept for a TV show. Yeah. It's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
You take someone who's on the verge of getting canceled, take them to a resort, and the TV show is called Ignorance is Bliss. They get canceled, they don't know about it, and then they have to return to the real world, and it's just them getting shocked.
I love that.
Broadly Media, let's go.
Yeah. Hey, sharks, we're looking for.
Okay, I think I'm going to win Broadly Diva.
Oh, you're so annoying.
Sorry for having confidence. So my diva is Zoran Mamdani.
Totally.
Who is one of the people contesting the Democratic nomination for the New York City mayoral election. Now, that election is in November, but the Democratic nominee election is tomorrow in America time.
Now, at the time of recording.
At the time. We'll
put it up by tonight.
It'll be up.
Okay.
But he's a fascinating guy. He's 33 and his big opponent is Andrew Cuomo. Now, I'm not going to say anything about Andrew Cuomo, but I will just list the titles of his controversies on his Wikipedia page, which are official corruption, book ethics scandal, COVID-19 nursing home deaths, sexual harassment allegations and resignation, legal and investigation costs of scandals. So, you know, that's who we're up against, who was the former, what do they call it when, like, they're the head of the state in America? The governor, former governor of New York State. Now, Zoran is 33, so, like, really young. He's been, like, in government for, like, 5 years, but he's running on a platform of freezing rents, fast, fare-free buses, starting a Department of Community Safety to prevent violence before it happens, which we love to see, reparative justice, no-cost childcare, city-owned grocery stores to keep prices low, more housing, cracking down on bad landlords, which we love because fuck landlords, taxes on big... Sorry to all landlords who listen to this podcast.
Especially ours. Love you.
Love you. You are such great landlords.
Please fix the rat problem in my house.
Taxes on big corporations and for the wealthiest New Yorkers. And I'm just like, what a great policy. He's like a public socialist, you know, and I'm like, we love to see it. He's also really hot. And that's what we need to talk about with Zoran Mamdani. The New York Times basically came out and they were like, we cannot possibly endorse this diva. And they endorsed Andrew Cuomo, which really speaks to the New York Times' brilliant taste in recent years. But I would say Zoran is Broadly Relevant's official nominee for the Democratic nomination. So if you're a listener in New York,
consider you.
Vote for Zoran.
Yeah, totally.
But it's really interesting because he... New York's recently, the party's recently changed how they're doing this vote, and they're doing preferential voting. Mm. And they were putting it in because they were like, oh, it'll, you know, not let wild cards get in. That's not what we're seeing in Australia, where all the independents are getting in. And so as a result, Zoran has like a really big chance because basically everyone who's not Andrew Cuomo has all preferenced Zoran second. So there's a lot of suspicion that he might get in just through all the secondary votes from everyone.
Speaking of voting, put in your votes on our Instagram. That's where the vote will be for Broadly Diva. So right now it's between a brown man and a brown woman. Notably, brown women are more oppressed in society.
Totally.
So if you hate a brown woman, for sure, vote
for
Zoran only, but like also vote for him in real life.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to vote for him in this specific.
But Zoran is hotter.
Wow. So you hate women. I always knew that about you.
I just think men are hotter. You know, specifically Zoran Mamdani.
Wow. He's really hot.
Yeah.
She is too.
What meal are you most looking forward to eating this week?
Ooh, I am most looking forward to eating... I brought back curry puffs from my house in the Gold Coast.
That's exciting.
And I'm really excited to eat them. Yeah. Big fan of taking things from my mother's fridge, you know?
Totally.
What about you?
Well, it's my birthday this coming Sunday.
It sure
is. I've got a picnic with all my friends, and I think the best meal will be the one shared with my friends.
Well, fuck, why did I say that? Sorry, I was supporting another brown woman, okay?
My birthday is actually the Palestine March.
Yeah,
so.
We are literally going to the Palestine March. For your
God forbid I support brown women.
On that note, if you enjoyed this episode, please let us know on our Instagram and our comments, like, subscribe, etc. I don't know, like, beam us some money if you want. Who knows? Love you. Bye.
Bye.